hear some more of that as we go. In the meantime, let's continue to talk about the souls of artificial intelligence. And I've been sharing with you that we're gonna continue to explore whether artificial intelligence.
I'm sorry, my volume was not up loud enough. Please forgive me. Glad you're with me, though. Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And we were listening to that song by Artificial Intelligence. It's called Mr. Shadow. Didn't you love it? I know you did. So I'm going to let you hear some more of that as we go throughout the day. And, of course, I let us hear that great song, destined to be a hit, because we're going to talk some more about artificial intelligence and souls. Where are you so far with this? You think that we're at the point where we are ready to not only buy, because you can best believe they're not going to be free, buy humanoids, robots, hubots, artificial intelligence embodied in human-like form, whatever you want to call it, all of those, just different ways of referring to the same type of entity. Are you about ready? You kind of getting used to the idea of buying one of those to take care of your grandparents when, you know, their health declines to the point where they can't take care of themselves and it's difficult for you to take care of them? Whether it's because your work schedule just makes it impossible. I know we have mom and dad working. And so we could have a situation where, you know, son or daughter truly loves the parent. The grandchildren truly love the grandparent. But because of the way life is, they just don't have the time to really put into taking care of their loved one the way they want to. And so fast forward 25 years from now, 17 years from now, whenever it will happen, I don't know when, we'll have these entities that can step in and help us with the care of our senior loved ones. Are you ready to buy one? $15,000, $20,000. I don't know how much. It'll cost some money, though. Bring it home. One that's suited for, programmed to help take care of your loved one. And you leave there, you know, you kiss your grandparent, your parent goodbye in the morning as you head off to work, or that evening as you head off to work, whichever it is. That night when you head off to work, they're still up. Give them a smack on the cheek. I'll see you when I get back. When you get back home, instead of getting an update from a human being on how your parent or your grandparent went, your great aunt did, however, whoever's being cared for, instead of getting an update from a human being, you stand there and listen as you receive an update from this humanoid. This artificial intelligence that may have hair that looks like a human being, a voice that sounds like a human being, can shake your hand. And that's who you leave your child. What if you do have a child who has some kind of disorder that renders them totally incapacitated, whether it's from birth or there was an automobile accident, whatever, but they're paraplegic from the neck down. They don't have the brain capacity to do well in school, and so they're totally dependent, using the bathroom, eating, drinking. They are totally dependent on someone else helping them with just their basic living needs. You get a humanoid in there to take care of your child while you're at work, because you have to work. And so here you are doing what you do. Come home and get an update. If something goes wrong, you need to be contacted. You're counting on the humanoid to call you, whether they beep you, whether they call on your smartphone, they call the main number to the department where you work, and they're trained to ask for you by name. All of that could take some getting used to. Now, how about adding to all of that, this whole notion of that humanoid eventually having a soul? If the humanoids did eventually develop the capacity to have a soul, how would they get it? Would some human being program the soul into the humanoid? Just go into their computer system, the computer system that's in the humanoid, make a few adjustments, and boom, voila. The artificial intelligence now has a soul. Well, we've been discussing this and taking a listen to what various people have to say about this. Warren Brown and many philosophers have used the term non-reductive physicalism to discuss emergent properties in humans, which they argue are not reducible to the properties of its elemental constituent parts, such as molecules, cells, neurons, neural systems, the brain. Non-reductive physicalism. Emergent properties in humans, which cannot be reduced to smaller elements that help to make up that human. That's a scientific way of saying something that one person once heard a Christian pastor say: God has made us more than what God has made us from. Christian philosopher Nancy Murphy, who has co-authored several works with Warren Brown, takes a similar view, claiming that we've really been misled into thinking words like mind and soul correspond to things in themselves. When we say a person is intelligent, she says, we mean that the person behaves or has the disposition to behave in certain ways. We do not mean to postulate the existence of a substance called intelligence. We might do the same thing with the concept of soul. In other words, you don't have a soul, you soul. You don't have a soul. In this case, the word soul is being used as a noun. They go on to say, you soul. And the word soul is used as a verb. What do you think about that? You don't have a soul, you soul. Simply switching soul to a different part of speech, however, doesn't get us any nearer to figuring out what mystery the word soul actually names. If we want to ask whether artificial intelligence can ever soul like we do, we first need to figure out how we ourselves soul. S-O-U-L, soul. There are a few ways to think about this. One way, according to Samuel Kimbrell, who's editor of The Resounding Soul, Reflections on the Metaphysics and Vivacity of the Human Person, is to talk about desire. And to understand why, they visit the Greeks. According to Aristotle, to soul is to be internally moved to accomplish what you desire. To soul is to be internally moved to accomplish what you desire. For Kimbrell, the mystery of soul lingers somewhere between or above our idea of noun and verb. He says that for Aristotle, the word soul primarily picks out things that are capable of moving themselves. A tree, for example, can change itself from a seed into an oak. That's the lowest level of soul for Aristotle, entities which can nourish themselves and reproduce. The second level of soul, which presupposes and builds upon the first, is the sensitive one. The second level of soul. I guess if they were going to use it as a verb, they would say the second level of souling. the second level of souling. The second level of soul, which presupposes and builds upon the first, is a sensitive one and includes all animals with sense perception. The third level is the rational soul, the ability to engage in abstract thought, which Aristotle limits to humans. The rational soul. Now, here's a question that I have for you. Would you say that the ability to engage in abstract thought is what makes a soul rational? Or would you say even the ability to reason makes a soul rational? Because I tell you, and here's the reason I asked that question. When it comes to rationality, if indeed being rational has to do with reasoning, I'd have to say rationality is not limited to humans. There are a whole lot of animals that can and do reason. That said, would you say that all creatures that reason have souls? And if so, would you say that if artificial intelligence develops to the point where it can truly reason, would that mean that artificial intelligence at that point would have a soul? Or is there more to having a soul than just having the ability to reason?